Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, I'm Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style and 16 Style Types.
And I'm Jill Chivers from Shop Your Wardrobe and 16 Style Types. And today we wanted to chat to you about playing it safe with your style, what it means to play it safe. What motivates us to play it safe? What's the impact of playing it safe with your style? And this is not to say playing it safe is right or wrong. We've all played it safe with our style at some point in time. But sometimes it is a hurdle to get over. It is something that is actually not moving us forward or serving us or making us feel good with our style. So we thought this could be an interesting topic since, you know, it's universal. COVID has also, I think, introduced this idea of playing it safe. We have so many other priorities besides style. So, you know, when is playing it safe actually the right thing to do? And when is playing it safe something that's kind of letting you down?
And there's many other ways to think about, like, are we playing it safe as in I don't want to stand out in my environment, or, you know, I do want to, you know, or I want to blend in, or do, are we thinking about, you know, other sorts of elements where, like, life is busy and so we want to play it safe because we just can't think about anything beyond, you know, the immediate concerns of life. So there's lots of ways we can think about this as a topic that make it quite interesting. And there are, and I think personality really comes into this as a topic because there are some of us who naturally just go towards playing it safe. You know, that feels comfortable. And there's other personality types that really feel like that playing it safe is dull and boring, and the last thing they ever want to do is blend in, or, you know, they might even describe it as be a clone, you know, or of everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is also where that concept of authenticity, which of course is a boundless topic, that's also where that comes into it when we add in that personality piece to it. I mean, we've had women doing our 16 Style Types online program who said playing it safe, that element of stability, that consistency in style, that sort of that having that sort of train tracks that my style runs on is really important to me. It actually makes me feel like me. And when I try and copy somebody who's maybe a bit more flamboyant or dramatic or bold or creative or something other than that, I don't feel really grounded in my style. I can actually feel, we've heard this word, unsafe in my style. And then, of course, we've heard the converse of that. We've had women with other style type personalities who've said things like, I've quit jobs where I had to wear a version of a uniform. It might not even be a real uniform. It's just a version of sort of corporate dress code that made me feel stifled. I didn't feel like me, and therefore I didn't feel I was bringing my best self to my work. And I think that's so fascinating, the idea that what we wear can affect how we feel about ourselves to such a degree that it impacts our performance. I just think that's so fascinating.
And it's interesting when we're thinking about this, isn't it? Where how, you know, like, so there are different personality traits and different personality styles. So the need to stand out in some way or other. And I remember in training, I had one trainee and she had a really high need to stand out. And she talked about how she'd modified her school uniform so it was different from how everybody else wore it. And the minute the other girls started copying her, she would change it up again. Like, she couldn't be the same. If anybody else would say things to her like, yeah, I like that, or I do that too, she would suddenly want to turn even that idea around. I go, no, but I'm different. You know, there was this high drive for difference. Yeah. Versus it was interesting where you have other people in the training which were trying to be the same. So they were trying to get that sameness by saying, yeah, me too, and I like it that way, because that's what made them feel safe. So there was an element when they felt they were like others, that felt more safe. And so safeness felt like a good thing. And I think, you know, like you mentioned, that you can have some structure around your style without it necessarily being safe. And that's something that we're not talking about, you know, you have to define a uniform or anything like that to be really safe. But it could be, you know, like, and there's no reason like you can't have developed your own formula that doesn't necessarily mean it's safe. But sometimes I certainly know that I have some clients who will say things like, I want a very strict set of boundaries. I want a very kind of, they want rules. In fact, they would often even call them rules, where they want that much more structured, what I wear, and I have these much more defined limits around that. Versus these other people who may still have a set of kind of guidelines which they use, they figured out what works and what doesn't work. So they're still using the same principles, but it's a much broader expression. And you might not see that as so defined as other people.
Yeah. And I think the other interesting thing is to think about, if I'm playing it safe, what does that mean for me? And you can even just separate it into, is it a positive or a negative at this point in my life? And you know, when we were talking about this a little earlier, we were talking about the example you have of when you know you're going to appear on television, and how sometimes you feel that there are other elements that come into that choosing of an outfit that for you define playing it safe. Whereas for me, it's really about sort of dropping my level of awareness. And actually, I use the word lazy to describe, for me, when I'm playing itself, I'm being lazy. I'm really not thinking about it. I'm not paying too much attention to the details. It has an element of throwing things together. And so our definitions, your and my definitions of playing it safe, are quite different. And I'm sure, you know, every woman has a different definition of what playing it safe means. So that's a big part of, am I playing it safe, is what do I mean when I say I'm playing it safe?
So when you're thinking about you're dropping your standards as such, where you're playing it safe, what part of your personality is coming into play when you think about that?
Well, for me, it really is about, I guess, acknowledging if I'm not feeling 100%. So it's really tied to my feeling state, and I guess more the shadow of my feeling state. So when I'm not feeling buoyant and resourceful and optimistic and all the things that I feel I am naturally, when I'm on sort of the flip side of that, when I'm feeling a little bit flat, uninspired, a little bit poor me, or it doesn't really matter, a version of that is what I'm tapped into. And I think it's a very circular relationship, that if I were to choose something that were to lift me, that feeling state would lift. Or if I'm just choosing to accept that that's where I'm at emotionally, I can say, well, look, it doesn't really matter. I'll just go a bit sloppy today. I wear leopard print every day, as anyone who's met me for 30 seconds knows. I'll just throw on something, but it won't have that level of consciousness, that chosen quality to it. And I can feel just sort of sloppy and like it's not gelling on some level. And sometimes I don't even know whether I could describe it to you. If you were to take a picture and say, right, point it out to me, I'm not sure I could do that. It's just an internal sense of, I'm wearing clothes and there's leopard print in there. So that's it. I'm done. And I might not. The other thing is not paying enough attention to grooming. I don't wear makeup every day these days, but I always do something with my hair because I have terrible bedhead. Come out in the morning, it's all stinky. And if I don't pay attention to that, I really notice it.
So do you think, do you fall back on, so you don't have like a fallback outfit sort of thing when you're going, I just am not feeling today, I've got these fallback outfits, I don't have to think about it, or you don't really do that?
I actually have a bit of a uniform. I've thought about this quite a lot from earliest memories of really getting my style together. I really love the idea of a sense of a uniform, not a real uniform, but a version of the same thing. So on the weekend, we were out both days and I actually wore a version of the same outfit both days. So on Saturday, I wore a pair of leopard print skinny jeans I had knee high boots on and just a plain, just supporting act top and a faux fur in a plain color. I have more than one faux fur in colors. I mean, doesn't everybody? Anyway, so I was wearing my green one, the chartreuse. Then on Sunday, I wore a pair of plain denim skinny jeans with a pair of knee-high boots. I've got a chocolate pair and a blonde pair. And I wore a plain top and I wore a leopard print faux fur jacket. It was exactly the same outfit. It just looked completely different because of the colours and the pattern. Yeah. And so for me, I love that. It really gives me a sense of continuity, and it gives me great confidence. Like, I know this particular combination of things works. It works for my body. It works for, you know, my shape, silhouette, colouring, print, all that kind of stuff. So for me, I find that is just gives me a great sense of standing on something solid with my style.
Because when I'm listening to you talk about this, this really comes down to your personality type, because you have an SF personality type. So I can see that S, that like relying on tried and trusted, true, we've done it before, we know it works, it's easy, I don't have to think about it. That's something that's really quite typical, I would say, of that sort of SF type that you have, SFJ in particular.
Yeah, exactly. That SJ combination, the four SJs in the 16 personality type models, they are the ones who most draw on a sense of needing stability, continuity, and for them, it actually motivates their style upwards. For other style types, it's a downer. It's enervating. It can be draining. So when I think about the conversations you and I have had over the years about how you dress and your process, it's really quite different to that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely different. I mean, look, sometimes I will do things I've done before, but I certainly notice, in fact, it was quite funny. I had an interview the other day with a recruitment consultant who was wanting me to do some work with their clients. And she said, oh, so did you go and like put this on specifically for me? I said, no, this is just what I was wearing today. Like, because we just organized a meeting and 20 minutes later we're on Zoom. And she was like, oh, and I said, like, every day I try and create a new outfit, like most of the time that I haven't worn before. I'm going to try and find a new combination. Like sometimes I don't, there will be days where I'll go, you know, I've worn that before and I know it works. But most of the time it's always this, can I find a new combination? Can I find, you know, a new way of putting things together? So it feels a little bit fresher and newer for me because, you know, that's exciting. And it's a little bit risky in a way because it may not work as well as one of my tried and true formulas to a certain extent.
And do you think that that's true for other NTs and perhaps all eight of the intuitive types, would you say?
I don't know about all NTs as such, because I do think there is a portion of the NTs, maybe the NTPs more, who sometimes will find a formula and stick to it because they want to use their intuition for other things. Like, and it can really depend if style is important to you or not, and how, where style lives in your life, how you treat it and what's important. I mean, like, we can think about like the iconic INTJ of supposedly Mark Zuckerberg, who wears a grey t-shirt and a pair of jeans every day. Like, he has no interest in mixing up his wardrobe. It's just a wardrobe of the same thing. And, you know, they would talk about, I'm pretty sure, did they say Steve Jobs was also supposedly?
Yeah, he's generally ascribed to have that same four-letter tie.
And again, he is another one where basically his own uniform of a black skivvy and a black pair of jeans. So this is where style not important. Style is not something that has been seen as, you know, a creative expression in their lives. And so therefore they've developed and it really is a uniform. They've developed their own uniforms where it's, I do not think about what I get. I just put it on, same thing. And it doesn't bother me that it doesn't change. Versus I know other NT types who would like go, no, I need more variety than that.
Do you know what I'd say about both of those looks, Zuckerberg and Jobs, is that style does matter to them because they deliberately chose a look. It's not just some random, I was, you know, crawling around in the dark and whatever came out, and one day it was a dress shirt and the other day it was a Grateful Dead t-shirt and one day it was board shorts and the next day it was a kilt. It's a deliberately chosen thing. Yes, there's no variety, there's no thinking about it beyond the initial choosing, but if it wasn't important, then they'd be wearing a whole variety of different, there'd be a suit in there somewhere. Yes. Now, we did see Mark Zuckerberg when he was called in front of Congress wearing a suit. But you're choosing for yourself. And this is where this whole idea that style doesn't matter, you see, becomes ridiculous. It doesn't hold up to any scrutiny when you choose examples where there is that level of consistency, because obviously there's a degree of, I chose this look because it supports the life I'm living and the choices I'm making outside of this arena, but this actually is taking me forward because I've chosen this specific thing.
Yes. So there is obviously thought, but then it's kind of like a set and forget, you know.
That's it.
So rather than, I want to do something different. So my thing is, I want to do something different every day. Now, I know there are plenty of NT types who do not want to do that. But there are probably some of us who do. And part of that is with the intuition is this idea of a vision where I have this vision of, sometimes it's not necessarily how I want to look. It's a feeling looking, and often it's very hard to grab onto, where I'm not even quite sure until I get the outfit on if I've managed to master it or not. But it is one of those things where that there's maybe a feeling or something that I want to encompass, which is why I say when I do media and I have, you know, making a decision about what I'm going to wear, I'm very analytical then. That's when I end up in my analysis, where I'm like, well, what do I want it to communicate, and what's going to work for me, and I'm going to be in what kind of environment, and what's the background going to be, and how will it work, and like a million criterias come flooding in. And then, of course, I'm always aware that as an image consultant, I'm supposed to be a stylish person. And so there's a huge amount of pressure on me to look a certain way. But, of course, there's image consultants who wear everything under the sun. It's not like we all have to dress in one way. There's no image consultant uniform. That's where it can also be. And you know that, you know, my style is never going to be everybody else's style. My style is, you know, will some people like it and other people won't like it. And, you know, that's fine. But there's also in that sort of situation thinking about what makes me look credible. And for me as an NT type, and credibility and competency are hugely important to me. That's stuff that's always going through my head when I'm going, like, my version of safe versus if I was going to somewhere more creative, I wouldn't have, you know, my playing it safe would be very different. Depending on that situation.
And talking about that vision, that envisioning that you have, and how not all intuitives have that, my mind immediately went to the four NJ types who all have that introverted intuitive function going on, first or second, you know, dominant or auxiliary, and that idea that I have a vision. And the four NJs that we have worked with in our program and in the course of developing our reports have all reported a version of, I get this very clear sense. The difficulty can be in communicating it to somebody else. So somebody working with an image consultant like yourself, or just trying to manifest it in reality, there can be a difficulty in putting it into words, which is where it can be useful to use images, put together some collages with that. But the other difficulty can be in finding it. I'll never forget the conversation you and I had way back before 16 Style Types about that black jacket that it took you 2 years to find. I still think of that because you had a very clear image of what this cornerstone piece and investment piece in your wardrobe was going to be, and you were not going to compromise on that. And so you waited until you found it, which I think is shows enormous patience, more patience than I'd have with something like that. But to me, it illustrates this point of, this vision is really clear and I rely on it. I know it is a guiding star that is not going to fail me. And I think that's a really important part of the NJ style.
And you know what's interesting is the vision wasn't of a specific jacket. It was of the criteria that it must fit.
Yeah.
So that was the thing, is it was, I had a bunch of criteria that it had to fit. So as soon as I found the jacket that hit those criteria, like, I didn't know what it was going to look like. But I did know it had to hit, like, these were the criteria, that they were my non-bending criteria. And I wasn't prepared to have, you know, three of the four. It had to be all four of the four criteria, whatever criteria they were. But it was that sort of thing where I was like, and I knew as soon as I hit it, I went, yep, that's it. But it was interesting. But so it's less of a visual vision. And that's one of the things we can sometimes think about versus, we've talked about this when we've gone shopping together, where you have a vision, we're going, I want to buy yellow beads, and they want to be so big. Like, it's a much more specific vision of what you're after.
Yeah, it's visceral, it's tangible. It's, yeah. You know, I can literally
concrete. It's a concrete vision.
There's an S word for you.
Versus my vision is, it just has to fit my criteria. Exactly what it's going to turn out like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But then when it hits my criteria, I'll know that's the one. It's that I'll know it when I see it versus being able to, I couldn't describe it to anybody so much. Because if I just said to you, you know, I want a jacket that I can dress up and down, that I can wear with jeans or like, but it doesn't want to look like a regular suit jacket. I knew that was the thing it didn't want to look like.
Yeah.
And it needs to be creative in some way. You would be still wandering around going, well, I don't know what she's looking for.
Yes, that's right.
Because it's not concrete enough. Versus for me, that was enough, you know, and I had to fit. That was my other criteria. You know, that was enough.
Nice to see. Yeah,
to know it when I saw it. I mean, okay, I had to suit my colouring. Like I said, there was, you know, those sorts of things. But it was interesting where it's a much less concrete vision.
Yeah, which I think also illustrates beautifully that the communicating of this to other people, often intuitives, particularly NJs, will talk about this, how this can be a challenge in making it clear to others what it is that they are talking about. And particularly if it is an S who's like, give me some evidence. I need something factual that I can put my hands on. That this is where there can be a sense of disconnect, because it's like the NJs will say, I can't describe it. What you're asking for cannot be done. And I think this illustrates, again, how beautifully type is real, and type brings forth these legitimate, beautiful differences in how we show up in the world and what we need, and how it presents these wonderful opportunities in communicating with other people who are really different to us.
Yeah, and I think it's the thing is that because we don't want to communicate concreteness, because we don't want to be pinned down necessarily to just that version, because maybe there's another version. And if we just pin it down to that version, you say you were shopping for, you know, and you went off looking, you're looking for something very concrete versus I'm looking for the idea of the thing. And that's what something I always find fascinating is when we've talked about these things, it's just got, we think so differently, yet neither is right, neither is wrong. You know, there's no one way. And I think that's the beauty of understanding type. And that's the beauty of the Style Types program, is really getting into the, who are you? And what's your version of playing it safe? And what's your version of how you want to think about things? Are you liking more concrete information, or do you have more of a vision? All those things are something that, you know, that we really get into in the program.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a wonderful opportunity over 12 months for you to explore all of these things in a way that you just can't do anywhere else. You know, this looking at your style through the lens of your authentic style essence, it's truly a unique way of understanding your style journey and really making it your own. And, you know, the topic circling back to this playing it safe, sometimes you can decide this is right for me, and other times you can say, I've been doing it too much. It's time to step out of that zone of playing it safe. But you get to step out of it in a way where you determine the boundaries, so that you feel like you're doing it right for you. Because sometimes when we're challenged or provoked into going outside our safety zone, it can go too far. And we can feel like we've made mistakes, we're not being ourselves, perhaps we've spent money we didn't really have on things that we're not quite sure are going to work for us. And so it completely redefines the whole idea of what playing it safe means, and gives you a really good set of handrails that you can use for making other choices with your style journey and with your style choices.
That is so well put, Jill. I love what you said there, because it is so true. Is that, you know, what is safe for you is not safe for somebody else. And, you know, and this is where we see so many people with wardrobes of stuff that they don't wear. You know, the latest research shows that, you know, most women wear half of what they buy on the whole. And it's because either we've played it too safe and we've bought ourselves silly, or we've gone way out of our comfort zone and we haven't understood where we should be going. And I think that's the beauty of understanding personality and type and how that impacts on every style choice we ever make, and how we can actually make it, you know, like make the best decisions for our wardrobes and our own lives as well.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you'll discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.